Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10. We're going to read a very well-known passage of Scripture. Mark chapter 10, let's read from verse 17. It says, "And as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and began asking him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother.' And he said to him, 'Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up.' And looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, 'One thing you lack: go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' But at these words, his face fell, and he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, 'How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God.' And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, 'Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.'" Amen. And so this passage in Mark is also in Matthew and also in Luke, right? And so we have this this picture that's in all the synoptics, but Mark seems to add a little more of a heartfelt response from Jesus, you know, in this, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. And so here's this young man, you know, a very pious man, a very good man, you know, he's a young guy, and he hears about Jesus, and you know, he's intrigued by the words, as most people that were living around that time were. You know, they you know, people would marvel and said, "Wow, who is this man that speaks like this?" And not only speaks but also demonstrates what he's saying. You know, he says, "No, I've never heard anyone with this kind of authority." And so you have to understand, Jesus drew a tremendous amount of crowds with wherever he went. And so he's ministering. This guy hears and he runs. He kneels at his feet and he asks the age old question: "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" You know, I don't know if you've ever asked that question yourself. I remember being, as a young person, I also asked this type of question. You know, what shall I do? But to go from the beginning is actually the wrong question, right? He asks, you know, the young ruler is asking about work. You know, what should I do? In other words, what can I accomplish? You know, or, you know, what can I succeed in, or how can I go about, you know, doing something to earn my eternal life? You know, this is very simply put, a very works-based mentality. And Jesus says to him, you know, and you can catch it in verse 18, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Now, why would Jesus say something like that? You know, why would he have to, you know, add this little phrase? You know, because he's going to the heart of this question. Can you ever do enough to inherit eternal life? You know, can you ever, you know, pray enough, give enough, you know, do good enough that you can gain eternal life? No, not at all. You know, and so his response is, "Why do you call me good?" You know, in other words, you can never be good enough. You know, you can never, you know, do enough work per se, you know, to inherit this eternal life. And so he continues on and he goes to the commandments. Well, you know the commandments: don't murder, you know, don't do this, don't do that. You know, he's you know, put basically a little diatribe on the law. This is what the law says. And the remarkable thing is this young man turns and he says, "I've done all these things from my youth up." I mean, that in itself is an absolute incredible, incredible statement. You know, if you haven't figured it out yet, this is why it's in all three of the Gospels. This is the pitfall of the law. You know, he says, "I've done everything. You know, I didn't murder, I honored my mother and father, I didn't steal, I didn't lie," right? All that Moses, you know, was given, the law that was given, "I've done all of these things," right? But he missed out on one minor detail, which is actually the biggest thing, you know, where, you know, Jesus will later, you know, tell a scribe and a lawyer, you know, the greatest commandment is that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, he accomplished, you know, the law of Moses, per se, but that didn't get him anywhere. You know, what God really wanted was his heart, you know, to love him with everything. And so Jesus turns, and remember, Jesus, you know, he has a way of when he's speaking to people, and that's why, you know, you should really, really, and if you don't have a Bible that does this, I recommend you get a Bible that has red type in there, right? And the red type meaning this is what Jesus would you know, said. And always pay attention to what Jesus says. And so Jesus, he talks to this kid, and he knows exactly what's going on, right? Even though he fulfilled the law, right? He was a good boy. His work, everything he did was good, you know, but it could never be good enough. You know, because what God is after, he's not really after, you know, doing good stuff, even though that's a part, or I should say a response, you know, that we give to the Lord. He's really after heart. And it's this central idea of trust and faith, right? You know, it is by grace that you're saved, through faith. And so this rich young ruler, he put his trust ultimately in what he had and also in what he did. He put his faith in, you know, what he had accomplished in his life. I mean, think about this. If you, you know, you're going to go and you're talking to Jesus, it's like you have the, you know, deck stacked in your favor, right? Because, you know, you come in and you ask Jesus such a broad question. Of course, you're ready to reply positively. You know, I mean, you can imagine he's probably waiting and, you know, he knows a lot and says, oh, I did that since I was a young kid. You know, and I mean, he's ready to give a response, but that's not what Jesus wanted. He wanted his trust. He wanted his heart. He wanted his faith. You know, and unfortunately, you know, this rich young ruler put his faith in the wrong things, right? He put his faith on his wealth, you know, and he put his faith on his works. And Jesus, you know, and that's why Mark, you know, he adds this phrase that is not in any other synoptics. And he says, Jesus felt a love for him. You know, and so now some people read the rich young ruler, you know, especially if you're like a young Christian, you know, and you hate the story of the rich young ruler. I mean, you know, I remember, you know, when I first read this, I was like, this is so unfair. You know, and you think God just, you know, and it perpetuates that stereotype that we have in our minds that God wants us to be miserable. You know, God doesn't want us to enjoy life. You know, God wants us to be dirt poor and, you know, and all these things, which is a total lie. You know, but it's because, you know, we read, you know, passages in Scripture and it may seem like it, but you have to understand, you know, Mark says, Jesus had this incredible love for this young man. And then out of that love, what did he tell him? He said, go sell all that you have, give to the poor, right? Now, I make a little slight note, right? Jesus didn't say, go sell all you have and give everything to the poor. You know, he said, give to the poor. Now, you can make your own conclusions. You know, I mean, you know, I studied that phrase at length. And, you know, most of the scholars seem to, you know, to think that he was not insinuating that you go and sell everything that you have, you know, but that you give to the poor, you know, as was the custom of their day, you know, to do. And so he says, you know, this is what you lack. The one thing that you lack. Go sell all that you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me. You know, and he heard this phrase, and his face fell, right? It's just like, you know, the picture of his whole countenance fell. You know, he was, you know, you can imagine, you know, go back to this picture. If you were there, you could imagine this young ruler was very proud of his accomplishments, you know. All these things I've kept since I was a youth, you know, and he was looking good to the crowd. And all of a sudden Jesus, you know, because he loved him so much, he asked him to let go, right? See, not because Jesus didn't like rich people, right? Not because Jesus wanted the rich young ruler to suffer, You know, not because Jesus had an agenda, you know, against this young man. He loved this young man. I mean, he says he felt a real love pour out over this guy. And then he said, let go. Give up, let go, and come follow me. You know, it's amazing sometimes in our relationship with God, when we sense, you know, like you really want something, you know, and God says, stop, let go. How many of us cry like little babies? Nah, I'm not going to let go, you know. Don't you love me, God? You know, because I've said those prayers myself, so I know what this is like. You know, God, I thought I was your friend. How can you treat me this way? You know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we don't understand that it's because God has a love for us. You know, and out of that love, God may say, you know what? Let go. You know, that guy or that girl, let go. You know, that bank account, just let go. Because he loves us. You know, it's not because he's some kind of cosmic killjoy or anything like that. He really, really loves us. You know, and he knows that what this young man really, really wanted, you know, I mean, what he really, really desired in his heart of hearts is only made possible if he lets go. You know, only made possible if he gives up, sells what he has, gives to the poor, and begins to follow Jesus. You know, and many of us, we hold on so tightly to things, and God sometimes says, let go. Just let go. Trust me. You know, unfortunately, this guy doesn't. His face fell, and he said he was grieved because he owned much property. Right? In other words, ultimately, right, even though he did all this good stuff, right, where was his heart? Or what did he place his trust in? It wasn't God. Obviously, we can see now when he's challenged. He put his faith in his possessions. He put his faith in, really, himself, his ability to be holy, right, and the possessions that he owned. That was ultimately his safety net, you know, in all things. That was what he drew comfort from. That's what he drew strength from. It wasn't his relation with God, you know. It was his ability to live a holy life, you know, his own piety, and he put his confidence in what he owned. And the Lord, you know, he looked around. Unfortunately, this young man probably left, and, you know, he looked, and, you know, other passages say that he was sad. And he turns around and says, this is what happens, you know. And this is not, he's not making a kind of a judgment on rich people, you know. And I don't want you to read the text that way, because I used to read the text that way, you know. And for years, I thought you cannot be rich and be a Christian at the same time. I thought it was this two totally incompatible things. Until I started meeting people, a lot of it was kind of later on when I started traveling a lot, and I started meeting very extremely wealthy people that were so committed to the gospel. You know, I mean, you know, more committed than all of us sitting here combined. And I just met some, I mean, really superstar Christians, you know, in my opinion, right, that were incredibly successful, but man, just so committed to the gospel. You know, and in a way, easy way of saying is that they love God so much that God entrusted them, right, with wealth and riches. Yeah, and they used it to bless, you know, the kingdom of God, right? You know, what we say at church, you know, right, we're blessed to be a blessing. Man, these guys were blessed because they were a blessing. You know, and it really changed my thinking a lot, you know. And I realized, as I went back to the text and really began to study, I realized it wasn't a judgment about rich people, but it was a simple assessment. Because one thing that wealthy people, you know, I mean, just as in a general term, right, you know, there's no impetus to trust because they can so easily trust in themselves, you know, or trust in their riches that they have. You know, and I did a whole thing on wealth, you know, before it may be, you know, possible to, you know, to look up some of these things. But, you know, one of the aspects, I'll just touch on it real briefly. One of the aspects of wealth is that a lot of times it really mirrors the attributes of God, you know. Because in some ways, wealthy people feel like they're omnipresent. In other words, they can go anywhere, anytime that they want to. You know, I'm not saying all, right? So I don't want to move out in generalities or outside of that too much. But also the idea of omnipotence, you know. We see wealthy people in our world that feel like they can do anything they want to do. You know, and so which is all powerful, you know, that they can buy any kind of information, all knowing. I mean, that's not really what I want to share today, you know, but we see that there are these aspects of the Godhead, you know, that could very easily be counterfeited in some ways, you know, through money and wealth. And so Jesus, he's not giving us, a judgment on this, but he's just really stating the fact that a lot of times wealth can really distort our thinking. And we could very easily place the focus on ourselves, you know, on our ability to make wealth, you know, instead of what the, you know, Deuteronomy talks about, and where he says it's God who gives the ability to make wealth. You know, and it's so easy for us to shift, you know, our focus in that way, you know, when we have a lot of means, you know, to go about that. And so, you know, going back to the text here, he tells this guy, let go, you know. This is what you lack, and I'm telling you this because I love you. You know, this is what you need. If you really want what your heart of hearts desires, this is what you need to do. Let go so that you can really start trusting God. Did this young man have a relationship with God? I don't know. You know, it's hard to tell, you know. But we can very easily tell that he put his faith in himself, right, and not in the Lord. And that, my friends, is a world of difference. That is the difference between life and death. That is the difference between going to hell and going to heaven. That's how extreme and important this is, right? So let's close our eyes this morning. Do you feel like maybe God is challenging some of you to let go? Maybe you've been putting your faith in something other than God. You know, as you grow as a Christian, you know, one of the things that sometimes happens is that we begin to put our faith in our ability, spiritual ability. We begin to put our faith in our ability to understand Scripture, our ability to hear from God. You know, we put our faith in our own piety. And it's all work. It says, but by grace we're saved through faith. And if you are here and, you know, and listening in our audience, and God has blessed you with wealth, God has blessed your life with the ability to make wealth, let me challenge you. Are you a good steward? Are you blessed to be a blessing? Or are you just simply blessing yourself? It's quite a challenge. Are you putting your focus and emphasis on works, on what you can do, or on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith? As Hannah leads us in a song, let's just meditate on that before the Lord. Oh,
always and your promises forever. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that
Let's pray together. Let's pray for our own lives, and let's pray for our church that God would, you know, bring us to a place where we just trust Him and Him alone. If there's people in our community that are struggling, trying to trust God in this time, let's pray for them. If there's house church members that, you know, have not yet trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, or people in our community, and there's actually quite a bit. You know, let's really pray that the Lord would really speak to them, and that the word of salvation would go out in their lives, that, you know, whatever they've been putting their faith in, right, would just dissolve, and that they would put their faith in Jesus and Him alone. Now, let's just lift up our community before the Lord in that way, and our own lives. Let's pray for members of our community and people associated within our community that are struggling through different things. Let's continue to pray for that little boy, Diego. He's actually feeling much, much better. And God's really doing something. He's eating, you know, regularly, and he's gaining weight. And, you know, I think he's healed. We don't have the final report yet, but very encouraging. Let's continue to pray for James Kim's sister. I think they have a doctor's appointment quite soon. And seems like the cancer is actually quite aggressive. And so let's really cry out to the Lord for healing over her. Let's continue. There's actually a few more requests that have kind of come in as well. Paul Lee's uncle was hospitalized for some reason. They don't really quite know what's going on, but they just asked for a prayer in that way. And then Armanda's daughter has a very similar condition, like Janice Chan shared, but she's, you know, not with the Lord, and you know, apparently quite hurt from the church. And let's pray that God would just really bring her back to faith, and the Lord would really have His way. Let's continue to pray for Yuli's father as well, who was released from the hospital. I pray for full recovery over his life, and so let's lift up all these people to the Lord. Let's pray for our house churches that are meeting today. Let's pray for Kennedy Road and Conduit Road and for Pacific Place. Let's ask God to bless them, bless the leaders, and that there will be such a fruitful time this morning in God. Let's lift them up. Lastly, let's pray for our building move and our building fund to continue to increase. Let's pray that God would just provide for His people, that they'd be able to give. And we actually have Janice and I have a meeting with our architects today at 11. Please pray for us. And I think they're going to unveil kind of the plan that they have for the new building. And so quite excited to see what they've come up with. And so let's just pray that God would just continue to stir us as a church, and that we would find a new venue very, very soon. Let's pray. Lord, we just bless You today, God. We thank You, Lord, for loving us so much, God, that sometimes, Lord, You desire for us to let go. Help us to realize, God, it's not out of You wanting to make us painful or any of these things, God. It's out of a real sincere, deep love, God, that You know, Lord, beyond us, God. You have Your wisdom is beyond, God, our wisdom. And so we ask, God, that You would help us, Lord, that when You do challenge us, to let go and to put our faith and trust in You, not in our abilities, God, not in our piety, not in what we own or possess. God, we want to put our faith in You. And so continue to teach us, God. Draw us to You, God. Begin to move throughout our community. Lord, bless our friends that are sick and going through difficult circumstances right now. Lord, we pray Your grace would cover them, God. We thank you, yes, God, your grace is sufficient for us. And so perfect, God, your power through our weaknesses, Lord. We bless you. Watch over us this day, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today, and please continue to pray. And, of course, you can leave whenever you need to.